Today's date is August 6th, year 2006, and it's the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, but we're celebrating the Feast of the Transfiguration, which happens to be taking place on Sunday this year, and that takes precedence over the ninth Sunday of Pentecost. I'm going to just briefly talk about the Transfiguration scriptures in here, and then we're going to go on to some other topics. As we're reading the epistle, it's interesting how St. Peter's, because you remember that Jesus said to them, "Do not tell anybody about this till I be risen from the dead." Which, and again, they said amongst themselves, "What does he mean, raised from the dead?" Now, so they didn't understand it. But here we have St. Peter indeed telling it to people after the resurrection in his epistle. And he's relating to them what him, Peter, James, and John saw. And it's interesting when Peter's talking about this, he says, "We have not followed the cunning, devised fables," which is what we have today. Ever since Christ came, people are always trying to create fables and lies about the truth, which Protestant heretics do, schismatics do, Jews do. They're coming up with their own witnesses, their own testimonies, their own false sources. But here, St. Peter's saying, "I, as an eyewitness, me, Peter, James, and John saw this with our very eyes. And we're now handing this down to you," which is the full deposit of faith. The original apostles who were with Christ were the first-hand witnesses that saw these events, handed them down to future generations through the Catholic Church, and confirmed by an unprecedented amount of miracles and good fruit, which is indisputable evidence. So even back then, we see at the beginning of the church, you had people coming out trying to devise fables. And really, what it comes down to is you're going to have to take sides. Either you're going to call the apostles liars, or you're going to call these modern sources liars. And I will tell you that even if you weren't sure, just look at the facts as a scientist, even. And scientifically look at the facts. Go back and look what the Talmudic and non-Jewish sources say, verifying what really happened about Christ. And then look what modern sources are saying. They're going against even non-Catholic sources. They don't even have a source back then to pull down that says the Jews didn't kill Christ. Even the Jews themselves admitted proudly, the apostate Jews, that we killed Christ. So anyway, he's saying, don't listen to these testimonies from these people that are bringing up fables. Listen to us. We're the ones that saw it. You know, as that comes to me. Now, the purpose of the Transfiguration served several different purposes. One of the purposes was one of the main ones, was to show Peter, James, and John that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, which they already knew, but that the full nature of the Messiah means that he is now usurping the old covenant. Not usurping it, he's replacing the old covenant. He came to fulfill it. Moses is under Jesus. Elias is under Jesus. Right. Moses, who brought down the Ten Commandments, Jesus is the Ten Commandments. He's the lawgiver. Moses was given the law from God. Jesus is God who gave the law to Moses. And now he's coming to fulfill that law and to replace it with a new covenant in which he is now going to be the new Moses, the true Savior, the true Redeemer. And Elias also represents Jesus fulfilling all of the Old Testament and covenant prophecies about him. So when the God the Father comes down and says, "Hear ye, he's my beloved son, hear ye him, no longer them," because he is the one who they all spoke about, and he's the one who fulfilled what they said. He is your new leader, as St. John the Baptist. Go follow him now. He is the new leader. He has now fulfilled all these prophecies of the old covenant. He is the Messiah, the new leader. There's now going to be a new show in town, a new covenant. It's going to replace the old. And he's not only was he, as Moses was only given the law, Jesus himself is the law himself, the lawgiver. So that is showing Peter and Paul, wow, because that's what the Jews had a hard time. Moses was the one who brought down the Ten Commandments and gave us the law. Moses was the one who even God dictated the Bible to in the Old Testament. He gave it to Moses. Moses was the greatest prophet up until then, even more than Abraham, because in the sense that Moses was the one whom God deemed to give all, even to talk about Abraham, that was given to Moses. That's how we know about Abraham. So Moses was so great, and rightly so, up until that point. He was the greatest prophet and Savior and Redeemer of Israel in the temporal realm, but even he himself said, "There's another who's going to come after me that's even greater than me. And you better listen to him. Because if you don't listen to him, you're doomed. Because that's who I'm writing about. He's greater than me." And Mount Tabor, what is Jesus saying? God the Father, here's Jesus. He's greater than Moses. He's the one, the prophet that I told you about. And he's more than a prophet, even if we find later Messiah in God. And he's the one that is fulfilling all these old covenant prophecies. So there, the Jews didn't want to relinquish. They wanted to hold on to Moses as their ultimate redeemer, when they even should have known by Moses' own words that he says, "I am not the ultimate redeemer. There's another who will come after me who's going to be the Messiah and redeem you." So we're looking at a lot of reasons, the obstinacy the Jews want to hold on to Moses, only because they hate Jesus. Only because they don't like Jesus because he's fulfilling the true law, and only because they were even themselves breaking the law of Moses and getting away with it. Right. and uses Moses as an excuse. And Jesus comes and indicts their conscience, and they don't want to follow Jesus because he's going to upset their sinful way of life, which the Pharisees was covetousness and greed and envy and whatever other sins they had and disobedience to God's commandments. They don't want to hear Jesus. So they preferred, they weren't going to still be listening to Moses. But they weren't even really listening to the true Moses. Because the Talmud and the things that they eventually came up with, a lot of things which they were already believing, Jesus pointed out were not correct. Moses didn't teach this. Why are you saying that? Why are you making this law when Moses never made that law? So, now that was one of the reasons, and the main reason. And the other one's a pretty big reason, too. He did it to show the apostles that he is God. They still weren't sure that he was God. You know, they're probably saying, I don't know, good, is he good? But he's shown them how great he is. He's shown them that he's much more than what you're looking at. You see my human flesh, but I'm also God. They didn't really know he was God yet for sure. Some of them were until after the resurrection. Then they had to know he was God. But what you're certainly looking at on Mount Tabor is this guy's no ordinary human being. He is more than human. As he kept trying to hint us, I am from above, you are from below, John 8:25. And he keeps constantly saying, before Abraham was, I am. And now they're looking at him transfigured out of his flesh into this bright white that the earth cannot even produce, which is just a glimpse of his divinity. And he's showing them, I am much more than human. So that they don't get discouraged when he dies on the cross and looks like a mass of just dead human meat, where there's no divinity showing at all, but only humanness that needs to die. And they can reflect back to their mind and say, well, I remember what we saw on that mount. There's more to him than that. Remember that? And we know he can do all these things. So he submitted him to himself to the cross for a purpose in which they knew was to redeem men for their sins. So they also say was to instill confidence in the leaders. Because he always considered Peter, James, and John the leaders. He always called them aside. Always. When there was something special, it was Peter, James, and John. And so that was the other reason that they give on the transfiguration. So those two things, and that's why when we talk about if the old covenant is still in effect, right? Here's Father, the heretic apostate Father Harrison's version of the transfiguration. That apostate bum, who has never yet answered my questions whether Talmudic Judaism is a true religion or the old covenant is still in effect. He has not yet answered those A, B, C questions. We know why, because he's in fear of the Jews, doesn't want to lose his job in the Pontifical University in Puerto Rico. He's very comfortable with that job. He doesn't want to get the Jews angry. But his take on the transfiguration will be God the Father comes down and goes, listen to Moses and Jesus. For two covenants are still in effect. Moses is equal to Jesus. Now, they can't be equal because it's one or the other. Really, what he's saying is, listen to Moses and not Jesus. Father Harrison's trying to tell us we can have two covenants in effect at the same time. The one that looked forward to Jesus to bring in the new covenant, right? And then Jesus is a new covenant who fulfilled the old, but then how could the old be in effect if the whole purpose of the old was to bring in the new? So it is an absolute, total, illogical impossibility to have both covenants in effect. It would have been like Jesus saying, listen to Moses and Jesus equally. They're both your supreme leaders, equal authority. But then Moses said, no, you've got to listen to a prophet who's going to come before he was above me.
I did not come to abolish, but I came to sustain the status quo.
I came to keep the old covenant. Yeah, Moses is still in charge, or equal at best. But definitely I'm not above Moses.
Yeah, right,
me and Moses are equal at best. Maybe Moses is even above me. And then he would go back and say, wait a second, if that's the case, then how come Moses himself, who was under the old covenant, came out and said, there's another who's going to come to me who's greater than me. Yeah. So Harrison is saying, that's what's happening at the Transfiguration. Yeah. Everywhere through the Bible we turn and look, when you say stupid stuff like that, I'd rather have Father Harrison just come out and put a beanie on his head and go into the synagogue. And just totally be what you really are, an apostate Jew.
Exactly.
You don't call yourself a Catholic. Don't tell me you believe in Jesus in the new covenant when I can't get a straight answer out of you. You know, this guy is so bad that people should follow him after I ask those questions. I have no use, not only for him, but for everybody that read that debate and knows what he believes in and still follows him. If we had an inquisition, every one of them will be lined up and they're in deep trouble. The layman may be given a month to repent and will lay off on a death sentence, but with him, unless God came down and intervened, he'd be given 1 month to repent. He can go to confession so he can save his soul, and then we kill him in public and show everybody what God does to monsters like that. Now, unless God comes and says, save him, because I still want to use him. Whatever. I don't know, but God does these things. People need to be made an example of. You can't be running around doing stuff like this guy's doing and make light of it. You're lucky. I would say to a Father Harrison, if we did get him and he did convert, just be fortunate that you saved your soul and you're going to go to heaven, but you got to die for this, and you should even want to die. You shouldn't even want to be seen on the face of the earth after what you did. And I want you to come out and give a public testimony of all the things you did wrong. Now, unless God saw fit that there was another purpose to use the guy, and then he would tell us, hold off, let him, okay, fine. But all I'm saying, though, that this guy is so bad right now, it's beyond comprehension. That's what Peter said, sir, in 2 Peter, I think it's in 2 Peter 2, 2 to 3, where he says, there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, they shall denying the Christ who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their righteousness, to whom the way to truth shall be evil spoken of. So he said, there shall be false Christ, false prophets, even among yourselves there shall be a many, he says. Even among yourselves there shall arise men teaching the first things, drawing away the disciples. That's what Paul said. But Peter was saying in there, who will deny the Christ who brought them salvation. And that's what that he's saying of the bishops, even the leaders. There's going to arise men that are going to deny the Christ who saved them, while at the same time pretending to be Catholics. That's what Harrison's doing. And they will speak evil of us who are denouncing them and call us the evildoers, while he's the good guy. When even an apostate Jew can look at Father Harrison, and I know it, they're laughing at him. They're saying, you dope, you big dummy, you big stupid idiot. We got you jumping through hoops. What Richard's saying is true according to the Catholic religion. At least he's not a liar. Oh, I hate Richard, maybe the Jew will say. I don't like him, he's my enemy. But I really despise Father Harrison, you're the worst.
Yeah.
You're a big dummy. You're not even being logical.
Yeah.
Us Jews know that the new covenant can't be in effect if the old is. Yeah. I mean, it's either us or you, you know? So Father Harrison finds himself nowhere, in no man's land. He's a coward. But that's enough for him for now. All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.